friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Pete Futek coming up in 20 minutes time. Nick Wilson, Jonathan Peterlin back on Afternoon Drive. It has been a busy day so far. Greg Newsom dealt to Jacksonville earlier today. We will have more on that as we get the show going, as we get later into the show, rather, including the idea of whether the Browns sold too early and what message that sends to the locker room. But I thought it was really interesting, seeing as how people took the Newsom and Flacco trades. I don't think they're tanking. You don't think they're tanking, right?
No.
Those two moves in and of themselves, to me, don't constitute that extreme version of trying not to win. I think we're one or two trades away from that. Like, if you take, it's funny, because Lindsay with Sumer Sports said,
Lindsay Rhodes,
well, take a couple defensive pieces away. I actually think if you take one or two pieces away from this offense, you're making it impossible to win, no matter who your quarterback is.
It's not good. And so that's like, I don't know, maybe I just need another definition of tanking. But like, do I think right now they're going into the Pittsburgh game and they're trying actively to go for draft position? No, I don't think that. But obviously it's not heading in the right direction.
Yeah, like when, if you were to move off of Posick to see what you have in Luke Whipler, or if you were to bench any of your veterans up front to see what you have in a Zach Zinter, playing those guys who have not earned the playing time, you're playing them because you got to see what you have in them. You might already be doing that at quarterback. You actually got guys who've earned their job over the course of 2, 3, 4, 5 years. I think that'll be another sign on top of like an Njoku or Jerry Jeudy or a Wyatt Teller, guys who actually might have a place here in the future.
Well, so is this the canary in the coal mine, though? Like, is this the beginning stages of us getting to that? Because
yes,
I feel like a lot
it could
of,
be.
That's what I think a lot of fans are thinking right now, and I'm with those fans that are thinking that. Like, it's so odd to have these trades that you see in the NFL. It's obviously been magnified. We have more than we ever have, but to have them this early and then to have the same team do two in a week, you know what you're signaling to everybody else. Like, if anything, it's almost one big giant banner to the rest of the NFL, like, hey, I guess we are open for business.
I just think it's really interesting that the Browns, to hearken back to Myles Garrett, who said, the Browns have told me about the plan at quarterback and I'm in. The farther we get into this, it's apparent the plan was, you're going to pay me $40 million and I will go along with just about anything with that plan.
Yeah, but I think we all kind of thought that at the time, did we not?
No, but I think it reinforces it with every day.
For sure it does. And it's one of those things where I almost feel bad for some of the people that believed that they had told him some secretive actual plan that was they were going to execute and figure out. And it's like they never had a plan. They didn't really know what they were doing. We watched the entirety of this just materialize as they're going on. And the only reason I can say that and not kill them after saying it is because I just don't think they took this year very seriously. I think they took this year for what it is, Nick. This year is we called it a poison pill before. That's what this year is. And then you get all your ducks in a row, and 2026, you get after it.
So I think what's interesting about this is, just yesterday, we were talking about the fella that took out the full page ad in the Plain Dealer.
Mm-hmm.
And basically,
there's disdain there.
I saw his media thing today.
Did you?
We'll get to it later.
He popped onto some places. Yeah.
We'll get to it later. Maybe after Pete Futek, we'll get to it. And okay, I'll give you my just absolutely unbridled thoughts on it. But part of his attack on the Dolans in the Plain Dealer was, you're wasting Jose Ramirez's career, right? And I just thought it was silly. I thought it was like, they've been to the playoffs so often. They've been consistently competitive as an organization. They haven't won a World Series, but they've been in a World Series with Hosey.
Yeah.
I think it's an asinine thing to say that they're wasting Hosey. So when I consider that, I then look to Miles and go, no, the Browns are 100% wasting the prime of Miles, which is why when Miles asked for a trade in January, I backed him and said he has every right to do this because you are wasting his prime. And this season is another instance of gosh, Miles is unblockable. He is on another level. And he isn't going to sniff the playoffs.
Yeah, it stinks. And I'm trying to, like, the hope you have in the NFL is that things can turn on a dime very quickly, right? Like Jacksonville, for instance, that's a 4-win team last year. Nothing's changed. Trevor Lawrence is still their quarterback. And Trevor Lawrence, by the way, isn't even playing any better than we've seen Trevor Lawrence play in years past. He's actually, his numbers really aren't particularly good. He's not having a great season by all accounts, but they are winning games. And I think the hope there would be that you can turn it around that quickly. But with Miles and the way that the Browns are attacking this, who honestly thinks that they're going to turn it around in time for Miles to go ahead and benefit from that?
So I honestly don't know who is manning our social media page right now for Afternoon Drive. So I'm going to communicate on air with this.
Okay.
Whomever it is, I want to send out a poll. Whose prime is being wasted more by their organization, Jose Ramirez or Miles Garrett? Because if you answer Jose Ramirez, I don't know we're watching the Browns at all. Like, I don't, like, I think you might just be so hard up on the Dolans that you're missing out on one of the great, I mean, the great fumbles in football history being delivered Miles Garrett. And if he ends his career with one playoff win and two playoff appearances, it'll be one of the great, I mean, I don't even know you can quantify what an incredible disappointment that would be.
So I think what the person on the paper was trying to get across, or I think where most Guardians fans try to get across with this wasting narrative of Jose's career, is that you're on the doorstep of being a perennial contender. Like, throughout his career, you've been knocking on the door. Again, ALCS appearance just last year. You've been to the World Series with J-Ram. Like, you've been right there, and I think they were hoping that you'd just burst through with a couple additions here and there, right?
Well, but what's funny is that in his career, at least early, yeah, they did make those additions. They did
They spent $150 million in 2017. They spent $150 million in 2018, right? But again, we're talking about the idea that you're knocking on the doorstep. You're right there. We don't have those conversations with Miles because you're not knocking on any doorstep when it comes to Miles. They're not a piece away. They're not like, hey, if I scream at Andrew Berry loud enough, he's going to go out there and acquire the cornerback that we're missing. You're not there. And I think that might be the difference in this discussion.
But they were.
Because I agree with you.
But they were.
Well,
they walked into these guys, Stefanski and Barry.
There was a run where they legitimately made an effort for it.
Well, but
and
no,
they won,
I mean,
they won one playoff game.
I mean, these guys inherited Miles and Nick Chubb and Baker, and even though he was a clown show, OBJ and Denzel, like the number 10 pick in the draft, which then they went to take the only left tackle out of that class that's out of the NFL at this moment in Jed Wills instead of Tristan Wirfs, who went two picks later, like. They walked into the best defensive end. Like, the guy that I think, when I watch Miles Garrett, it is the closest thing, or one of the closest things I've ever seen to watching Reggie White, my favorite player ever, has one playoff win and two playoff appearances.
In that stretch you're talking about, though, they did have some of those years were really bad Joe Woods years where the defense were the reason why they weren't able to go and take a step further.
This is not, to me, it's a comparison thing. I understand why people make the point that Jose's career is being wasted. I just don't agree with it. Meaning wasted by the Guardians, not, putting enough money into that thing. I think Jose's doing just fine. If Jose really felt like he was being wasted, he wouldn't have signed that contract extension for the team-friendly discount 3 years ago. I just look at Miles and I go, like, I still am empathetic. As annoyed as I was about all the offseason stuff, I'm still empathetic of a guy who deserves so much more. And I can't figure out why every day we don't have at least one person tweeting at us or in the super chat on YouTube saying, man, they're really going to waste this guy's all-time career, and he's going to sniff the playoffs once, maybe one more time.
Because I think for a lot of people, that went away when he took the bag. When he took the $40 million and didn't force the hand, I think that went away. And just my read on it. Like, if you really wanted to be gone and go to that situation that you talked about where you wanted to play for a Super Bowl team and you wanted to do that, listen, the teams were out there. As evidenced by the Micah Parsons trades, teams were out there. And that's even beyond just the actual Packers. We're talking the Lions had interest, the Bills had it. Teams were out there. You didn't force it hard enough. You didn't want it bad enough. If he really wanted to be on a team that was going to be a Super Bowl contender this year, he needed to hold his ground. And so I think for a lot of fans, I think that goes away. I think it just became strictly about the money, and then he folded like a cheap suit. He took his cash, so I think the empathy goes away. Whereas J-Ram, I think a lot of people feel empathetic because he obviously took a massive discount with the expectation they were going to put more money towards the team, as evidenced by what J-Ram said himself, and we've not seen that. And I think that's where a lot of people then sit back and say, well, geez, that does stink. Even if I don't think they're wasting J-Ram's career, because it's not how I look at it, but I could see how a fan would look at it and say, I feel bad for J-Ram for what he signed up for, whereas Miles signed up for something different.
But if they're, so I understand the nuance that you're making, so I do want to, but just to rebut that, but they're constantly putting things around Jose to win because they constantly win with Jose. No matter how much money the Haslam spend, and this is what always kind of I get guffawed about with the spend more money thing is the Haslam spend as much money as you can possibly spend, and they just don't run the organization well. They just consistently trip all over themselves in a way that's, I say, more humiliating. Like, if you're thrifty, but you've got a great front office, great GM, or a great manager, and a future Hall of Famer in Jose Ramirez, and you're going to the playoffs every year, could you be doing more to win? Yes. But the one thing you could be doing more is spend money. The Browns could be doing everything but spending money. That's such a bigger chasm between winning and not winning.
Well, it shows that the Guardians are much closer to being a consistent winner than what the Browns ever are. Like, as what you're describing with the Browns runs way deeper than just a pocketbook fix.
Yes.
Whereas with the Guardians, there are many fans out there that believe that it is just as quick as a pocketbook fix, and that's all you need because you have the right infrastructure, you got the right pieces that are being developed. You just need the financials.
Eric on the chat on YouTube saying it's Miles and it's not close. Well, at afternoon 923 FAN, whose prime is being wasted more by their organization? 56% of 43 votes. Now 53 votes. Saying Miles Garrett, 44% saying Jose Ramirez.
When we talked about it before the show, by the way, we both agreed it was Miles.
Yes.
Like, and I think it's Miles with a bullet. So if it ends up being a closer race on Twitter than what we thought it was going to be going into it, that's interesting to me.
Dan in Amherst, real quick, buddy, whose prime is being more wasted by their organization, Jose or Miles?
Well, Jose got his streak, so we're good there. And as far as Miles goes, you don't have to have empathy for him to realize that his career, as talented as he is amongst the best in the NFL, it's more his talent is being wasted more. And it doesn't have to do with money. It has to do with the proper front office. So.
All right, buddy. We appreciate you. Real quick here, we're going to go with Ed in LaGrange. Ed, we only got about 15 to 20 seconds here. Okay. Whose prime is being wasted more?
Well, Jose's wasting his own prime. He's been to the playoffs quite a few times, and look at his stats in the playoffs. He doesn't show up when it comes to playoffs time. So he's wasting himself in some ways.
That was a left turn I did not see coming. Ed, we appreciate you. I felt like someone was going to say, with Miles is wasting his own prime because of the nonsense and the goofball stuff with the media and the car accident and the what is perceived as immaturity. And I guess he likes Elton John music. I think people have a problem with that. I don't. He also likes classic cars, which I like too, so I like that.
Oh, I didn't know he liked Elton John.
Yeah.
I love Elton John.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw Elton John when he came.
Best friends.
When he came to Progressive, I saw Elton John. I've always liked Elton John.
You saw the ghost of Elton John.
What do you mean? It was this farewell tour that he's been doing for 12 years.
Yeah.
How do you keep coming out with that? It's like the Yellow Brick Road farewell tour. It's like you've been doing that for a decade.
Are you new to classic rock? That's all any of them
how
do.
How does that work that way? How do they keep
Leonard
getting
Skinner's
away with
been
this?
Saying goodbye since the plane crash in 77.
I was like, I've seen you. You did the farewell tour at the Q. Now you're doing the one at Progressive. How many farewell tours
They're
do you get?
Different venues.
He killed it, by the way, too. Still
I
had it
killed
going.
It. What do you mean?
What do you mean?
He can barely sing anymore and can't move.
No, that's mean. I had an enjoyable time. It was Elton John. It was great. I'm not even a concert guy. You know this about me at this point. In life, I loved it. I thought he was awesome.
When Crocodile Rock came on, did you just lose your mind?
Actually, one of my least favorite Elton John songs.
It's one of his least favorite Elton John songs.
I believe it. It's not a great song.
216-474-0092, or you can vote at afternoon 923 FAN, whose prime is being wasted more by their organization, Miles Garrett or Jose Ramirez. Pete Futek in 5 minutes on 923 The Fan. Did you see the dual press releases between Bill Belichick and Bubba Cunningham yesterday?
Yeah. They're really trying to show an aligned front when no one believes it.
I would really like to know if both of them were being held at gunpoint, presumably by Jordan Hudson, to put those press releases out.
Surprised Bill even bothered to put the press release out. You know, like he, you know, bye week, he's off in Nantucket living and away from the team. Surprised he even bothered.
I'm surprised you think he put it out. I think it was Jordan. Or Mike Lombardi, somebody.
All right, then let's call it Lombardi's press release. Then let's not call it Bill Belichick's press release.
But he put his name on. Yeah. Pete Futek, College Football News, joins us every single Thursday at 4:20 on the Fan Hotline. Pete, welcome back to the show.
And it's such an easy fix. I mean, all you have to do, if you're Belichick or anybody with North Carolina, is be like, hey, look, I'm here because the program needed an overhaul. And it's going to take a little time. We're in a rebuilding mode, and we will get there. But, like, they're only 2-3. It's not like they're, like, 0-5, you know? So it's not great. They're not playing well. But their schedule's relatively easy. You know, they could still go to a bowl game. They could still do something to turn this around. So if you just framed it a little differently and just said, yeah, you know, it's going to take a little while.
So, but Pete, Lombardi did try to frame it that way, though. He called it a rebuild, and then people got mad at him for that, too.
Yeah, because the problem is if you hire a coach who's that old, you don't have time for the rebuild. And so that's where the, you know, if you're going to bring in 70 different transfers to come in, well, then you're probably not going to have a very cohesive team right out of the gate.
Pete? We got the Illibuck Trophy. We got Ohio State, Illinois. Is this one going to be close?
Help me with my memory here. When was it was Ohio State with Juice Williams, right? Was that the game where
yes.
they screwed up the Buckeyes? Like
yes.
90 blah, something?
Fun fact for myself, Pete, that I want you to know. Juice Williams is the only college football jersey I've ever bought.
That's awesome.
Number 7, Juice Williams. Loved him.
Wow, nice. And was he older than you or younger than you?
No, he was older. He was not by much, though.
That's okay, though. See, that's the rule. The player has got to be older than you. Otherwise, if you're wearing a college player's jersey as an old man, kind of creepy, kind of weird. But
what if he bought it 20 years ago, though?
Well, that's right. Like,
that was the
Deion
point.
Sanders,
yeah. Okay.
Exactly. My Deion Sanders jersey is still fine. I'm okay. So, like, that's the time. So, but yeah, this is one of those games where wrong day, wrong time. I mean, we still don't quite know what Ohio State is. I mean, like, America kind of tuned it out, but that was a little bit of a stress test on the one trip to Washington. It was still, what, 13-6 with about, what, 10 minutes to go, 12 minutes to go, whatever it was. I mean, they weren't going to lose, but at least they weren't, you know, ripping it up. But that defense, I mean, we're talking historic stuff here. I mean, it was. I think I got this right. They haven't won 6 in a row by keeping the other team under 10 points since, I think, 1974. I mean, you're talking about, and it's a different era. I mean, this is a far bigger accomplishment because back in the day, everyone won games 2-0. But this is an accomplishment by this D. And the red zone defense, considering the turnover in personnel and defensive coordinator, is just stupid ridiculous. I mean, there's only like one other team that I think is under 60% in allowing red zone points, and it's at like 58%. Ohio State's at like 27%, and it went up because it gave up a field goal. I mean, like, it's just playing at a lights-out level. I don't think it's going to do that against Illinois. I don't see them winning. I don't see Illinois winning.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Winning, but I wouldn't be shocked if the secondary for Ohio State got pushed a little harder than it's been pushed all year.
Pete, last year, Emeka Abuka, or as Gronk calls him, a Big Boo, he was second to Jeremiah Smith the entire season. It was what it was, and that's how people perceived him, and now he's entered the NFL, and he's off to the races, and he's fantastic. Is Carnell Tate, is he going to have that same type of impact? I'm not even saying at the NFL level, but the idea that you turn around at the end of the season, you're like, he really is really good and doesn't get appreciated enough.
I mean, you just never know with wide receivers. I mean, like, you know, everyone was saying that, you know, Smith Ajigbo was going to be, was, you know, the one of ones when in that room. And as it turns out, Marvin Harrison, when he kicks it in, is a little bit better. And Garrett Wilson's good. And, you know, all these, you know, talents that they have. And you just never quite know until you get to the league. You know, like, look at, like, Alabama over the years and all their great wide receivers. And it's like, oh, my gosh, Jerry Jeudy's going to be this next big thing. And he's been fine, but he hasn't been great. Jalen Waddle's going to be a game changer. It just, you never quite know till you get there. But you're right. Abuka right out of the gate has been fantastic. And, you know, look, boo-hoo, you know, your Ohio State, you just keep cranking all these great wide receivers. And if you give Saiyan time, and that's, you know, the offensive line's been giving them a ton of time to work. So, yeah, you get time to throw to your NFL receivers. It's hard to evaluate NFL quarterbacks coming from Ohio State because of it. But when it comes to receivers and offensive linemen, yeah, they're still rocking and rolling. And they shouldn't have too much problem against Illinois. Illinois does not generate a whole heck of a lot of a pass rush. And that offensive line's getting Altmaier beaten up. So Ohio State's going to win this on the lines. But, again, I won't be shocked if, you know, the social media goes nuts. It's, oh, my God, it's 10-3 Illinois in the second quarter. Ah! And then, you know, everything changes.
Pete Futek on the fan hotline here. So if it just goes to yardage, Julian Sayin's passing yardage is not, I don't even think it gets top 15 or top 20, but he is third in college football in quarterback rating. I think he's number one in completion percentage. I know he's top 10 or top 5 in passing touchdowns. Is it too early for the Sayin Heisman campaign?
Yeah, because it's the number, overall numbers aren't going to be there, and it's more the defense, and Smith is the real star. But, like, look, forget all that. He's great, you know, and that was the big storyline coming into the season on a national scale, where Notre Dame, Alabama, Ohio State, you know, look, I still think, and I think we finally saw, I've always been yelled at for this, Nico Iamaleva is, and he's Jaden Daniels light. He is that good. He just has nothing around him at UCLA, and we finally saw it last week against Penn State. But that was the argument. Like, any of these schools could have had Nico. Any of these schools could have had this NFL guy, and instead they stuck with their homegrown talent. And now C.J. Carr is being talked about as a possible number one overall draft pick caliber guy for Notre Dame. Ty Simpson's been fantastic in the Kalen DeBoer offense over the last few weeks. Dante Moore, I know, not a new guy, but, you know, he was kind of experienced at UCLA, but he's in the Heisman race for Oregon. And, yeah, you know, Saiyan's been great. I mean, there's all you have to do with that defense is just not screw up. And I always also take the other side is go ahead and take your shot, because if you screw up, the defense will clean up your mess, and there hasn't been a problem so far. So it's a pretty relaxed, you know, charged atmosphere for Saiyan to play in, and he's been able to take to it and thrive right out of the gate.
Pete, it's a massive weekend in the Big Ten. There's so many good games. Oregon, Indiana's got my attention in a big way. I'm a big Dante Moore guy at this point, but Oregon and Indiana, they both avoid Ohio State the rest of the way. So this is probably each team's toughest test remaining. Are too many people sleeping on Indiana based off of what happened last year, where it was like they made the playoff, but then they got beat around and they're not very serious, whereas we should be taking them more seriously this time around?
I think also nobody's taking seriously that Penn State's still actually really good, and Indiana still has to go there. But it's budgeted. That is factored into the college playoff thing, is that Indiana seems like it's that team that's going to be just good enough to hang around and be respectable against Oregon. But it probably loses at Oregon, probably loses at Penn State, goes 10-2, and goes into the playoff. But it's a better team. I mentioned that red zone thing with Ohio State before. The insane stat with Indiana, they've only allowed 3 drives inside the 20 all year. This defense has been playing lights out. Mendoza is playing like a top draft pick. He has been just fantastic with this attack. And at the very least, I think they hold up and make this interesting. I don't think they hold up against the Oregon Lions. And that's, it sounds boring, it's Oregon, so still nobody ever takes it seriously, but that is one physical team, and their lines have just been phenomenal so far. I do think Indiana makes this a fight and makes this interesting, maybe even gets up early, but, you know, it's crazy to be talking about Indiana like this, but, yeah, they're just that good. They're just good enough to make it interesting and then lose to Oregon on the road.
All right, Pete, I heard what you said about Penn State. I'm going to need you to defend it because they just lost to UCLA and they're 0-2 in Big Ten play. What? Why? Just what? Why is this going on?
And to the extent right now in the CFN rankings, if you're doing this right, if the ranking systems are correct, they're in the hundreds because they've only beaten FIU, Nevada, and Villanova, and if like theoretically and technically, they have to be ranked behind Akron. If you just took away the uniforms and the talent and all that stuff, you just said what has happened on the field, they're ranked behind Akron. They're ranked behind Central Michigan. Tulsa, there's all these ways of doing this. The Oregon game was the Oregon game. That was just, it was a great game. Either side, everyone's fine. I just think that Oregon beat them twice. And by the time Penn State woke up, Penn State still almost won that game. You know, Nico went off, UCLA did everything perfect, and it still took everything to pull that thing out. Let's see what happens against Northwestern this week. No more of this. They still haven't played a great game this year. They haven't been great. They weren't even great, even the blowouts over FIU and Nevada. They just sort of were just better and just got good final scores. But they weren't great in those games. This is one of those games where, all right, Penn State, if this is going to be your year, you shake it off, you wake up, and boom, you win like 45-3. And I think we talked about this last week. The comp I put to last year was, what was the big talk with the loss to Oregon was the Will Howard too early slide. And that fueled them the rest of the way. Well, that's what I thought was going to happen with Drew Aller, and oops, they did not exactly come back roaring against the UCLA. This is the week they got to do it because they got some tough, nasty games the rest of the way, but they can still do it. They're going to have to beat Ohio State to get to 10-2, but they still have the talent to potentially pull that off.
Oh, between Penn State with Drew Aller, between what's happened with Texas and Arch Manning and a couple other guys. Pete, how did the prognosticators get this quarterback set up so seemingly wrong for how people perceive it now?
They're overcoached. I am a Gian on this, and just anybody, I will keep screaming it. They're screwing up Arch Manning. They are screwing up these altered heads. The DJ Uiagalelei of quarterbacking now, where once you let these guys just fire back, let it rip, they're great. And what happens is they just get coached, don't screw it up, don't make this read, make this read, make this. Instead of just being a quarterback and going out there and throwing it, and just you see it every single time. That's why the two-minute drill goes so well, because in two-minute drills, all they have to do is these quarterbacks can just be a quarterback. Go out there and throw, and they could do that. It's when they have to work through these different things and don't look here, blah, blah, blah. Just go and throw it to the open man or throw it to your receiver and go. And I think these guys are just, right, you can see it with Aller. He's now been screwing up just big enough in the two big games that he's being coached the wrong way. But when he had to let it rip against UCLA last week, there it goes. We're fine. It was the Jake Browning thing. When he came in for Burrow, he was awesome. Why? He could just let it fly. Who cares if he threw interceptions? He made the offense go and Cincinnati won. Then he became the starter and stuff became real, and then everything changed. So I just think these guys are way too overcoached.
Pete, we appreciate you, buddy. Great stuff. We'll talk to you next Thursday.
Anytime, guys.
Pete Futek there, College Football News on the Fan Hotline.
This is one of those games where wrong day, wrong time. I mean, we still don't quite know what Ohio State is. I mean, America kind of tuned it out, but that was a little bit of a stress test on the one trip to Washington. It was still, 13-6 with about, 10 minutes to go, 12 minutes to go, whatever it was. I mean, they weren't going to lose, but at least they weren't, ripping it up. But that defense, I mean, we're talking historic stuff here. I mean, the red zone defense, considering the turnover in personnel and defensive coordinator, is just stupid ridiculous. I don't see Illinois winning, but I wouldn't be shocked if the secondary for Ohio State got pushed a little harder than it's been pushed all year.
Pete Futek, College Football News, every Thursday at 4:20, giving us his take on Ohio State, Illinois. The Buckeyes are 14.5-point favorites. And this feels like, after winning the national championship last year, it feels like where we were in the peak Urban years after they won the national championship, where even when they disappointed by not making the playoffs when they should have, because they put like half the NFL into the NFL, it does feel like we're at the point of who do we have? Illinois? Oh, yeah, they're 17th. Okay. I'll be asleep by halftime.
Yeah,
I mean, does feel like Ohio State fans are back to that point of hubris.
They haven't allowed a double-digit game yet. Like the defense is as good as Pete is talking about. And so, yeah, you do kind of feel a little bit cocky. 14.5 is a large spread in this one, though.
I kind of think Illinois... So everything that everybody said about Minnesota, I think Illinois is a better version of that. Like, I think Illinois is quintessential Big Ten team. I still would be surprised if it's within 21 points. With respect to Brett Bielema, I think his team is for real, but it's not Ohio State for real.
Well, I mean, Ohio State just playing on a different level right now. I don't know. Is that the Minnesota game confidence leaking in? Like the Texas game doesn't look as good.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Now in hindsight, right?
Washington one looks okay.
Looks okay, yeah. I mean, they have some good games in there.
But that's a problem. It's Illinois, Wisconsin, then Penn State at home, then Purdue on the road, UCLA, Rutgers, and then Michigan on the road.
Yeah, like if you look at the schedule and if you take the idea that Penn State is just not ranked right now, it's just Illinois and Michigan is the only two ranked teams you play the rest of the way.
I mean, the only two teams that...
Which is kind of funny to think about.
The only two teams that legitimately scare me are Penn State because they actually do have talent. I disagree with Pete that, like, hey, they're still a good team. No, they have talent. They're not a good team. So I don't think James Franklin will have them show up.
No.
But again...
What a turn of events that would be. James Franklin just never beats top 10 teams, literally ever, and then Ohio State is the one.
Or that Penn State never loses a game again until the playoffs. That would be another turn.
That would be another turn.
And then Michigan, just because Ryan is not consistently... No, I'll say it a different way. Ryan is consistently dookie the bet against Michigan.
Yeah, which is, again, a fair way if you have some worries about that. There's a part of me that does worry, though, if and again, this would be a great game to go ahead and just stamp that down. You beat Illinois by 21, by 24, whatever that is. You know, you really put the exclamation point on them, then you're on cruise control until Penn State, until the Michigan game. But the Texas game, it just doesn't carry anything for me anymore.
Well, I don't know.
There's a time it did. It doesn't right now.
There's nothing on until the Big Ten title game, which I think you just said is even then. That's not true. If it's Ohio State or Indiana, I think that's a legitimate, if you get that win, that'll be okay, they can win the national championship game. I don't think there's any game but that can, now a loss can say the opposite, but there's no win that you're like this, now we know, until the Big Ten title game.
You can't really figure that out right now. And two of the best teams, I think, of the Big Ten right now, Oregon and Indiana, that are taking on each other this weekend, you don't play them at any point this season.
I do want to give you an updated tally on our afternoon 923 FAN poll.
Okay.
This goes back to 2 weeks ago, Jose Ramirez's career is being wasted by the Guardians. This goes back to the Chet from a plane dealer who put out the Dolan blasting.
What'd you call him?
A Chet. It's a very Chet move.
Wait, is his name Chet? His name's not Chet.
No, it's Tim, but his name is Chet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead. You're fine.
Okay. However,
don't let me distract you.
So where the claim was the Guardians are wasting Jose's career. And so we got into the conversation of Myles Garrett and the fact that this will be another wasted year. The updated total, 65% of people saying that Myles' career is being wasted more by the Browns than Jose's is. But Liam says, Jose, Myles wanted Baker out of town. Now asks why we can't play winning football anymore. I thought the only defense of the only way you could answer Hosey is if you just wanted to completely denigrate Myles and thought he didn't deserve any that he deserved the Browns' lack of success.
That is an interesting point. I want to play with that for a second. Like Myles does bear some responsibility for Baker Mayfield not being here. Do I think that they still would have tried to go through and get Deshaun Watson? Yes, I do. But do I think it was exasperated by the idea that one of your best players on the team, and somebody that clearly was already showing future Hall of Fame promise in Myles Garrett, clearly did not get along with Baker Mayfield, and they seemed like they feuded at every turn. Yeah, like, that does matter. Like, in some ways, Miles has, he's made his bed at every turn, whereas if you look at, like, Jose, like, Jose loved Lindor. Like, he wanted Lindor to be here forever. That way, and Lindor got taken away for financial reasons. But if, like, Hosey had his druthers, it would have been him and Lindor until the end of time.
The only thing I would say is the Browns could have told Miles to shut up and play football.
That's essentially what they ended up doing.
And that, well, but no, they traded Baker.
Oh, you mean in that sense?
Yeah, yeah.
You mean in that,
like,
sense?
Like,
yeah.
That was a know your leaders and know that Miles himself is a little vociferous and a little talking out of both sides of his mouth, and just say, hey, your pros, make it work.
That is a part of the Baker conversation that I feel like in us just discussing it over the previous couple months and going back and looking at that, I don't think we've done enough touching on, is that, like, that idea, like, Miles and Baker did not get along, and it was very well known, and Miles was not really shy about the whole ordeal either.
Well, but, okay, Seattle, the defense hated Russell Wilson. They went to 2 Super Bowls. Why? Because Pete Carroll was the adult in the room, because
Russell also went to a Super Bowl right away. Like, there's a difference in that.
No, there is, but again, like, that you, this is where you have to preach patience to the players. And instead, Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski were impatient. Eric responding to the Twitter poll saying it's close. I don't think it is. I think the Browns are unequivocally wasting the second best football player I've seen in Cleveland since 1999. And I think the Guardians have had a lot of success with Hosey, in spite of the fact they haven't spent what I would like, or what I think a majority of fans would like. The Lead in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.